This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
What did you think about the Red Panda Saturday night at halftime at Coleman Coliseum?
Well, I thought she bounced back from an early L in November.
Yeah.
She had a rough performance, if, you remember.
Yeah.
To start the season, but she, too, has sort of overcome some adversity early in the season. Mm-hmm. Found her stride now and looks to be back to
very focused.
Unquestioned number one when it comes to halftime entertainment, the sports world.
Well, a lot of people don't give her a lot of credit because obviously she replaced some bowls at halftime, and that led to a much better performance late in the bowl tossing category out there. So yeah,
I can't decide though, Travis, if I like her or who's it, Barry, the great zucchini,
the great Sliwack or something like that, Slaydeck, the amazing Slaydeck, the chair balancer last year.
Man,
he's pretty solid too.
Yeah, he really is.
We have made it our business. We may go down in flames, Travis, starting really since the end of college football season, to really sort of talk up college basketball. We mentioned that right now some projections have Alabama basketball as a 9 seed in the upcoming tournament. You know, Auburn has the best overall record in the SEC. Alabama's the hottest team with 4 wins in a row, and they've been playing without their best player. There's a lot to get excited about, isn't there, with Alabama basketball?
There is. Tonight is a challenge for them, I'd say, considering that they haven't won in Oxford since 2009. So, that 4-game winning streak very much on the line going into that game with the Rebels tonight. I think Andy Kennedy has won 7 out of his last 8 against Alabama. And so they've got some business to tend to. There's no doubt about it. But from where they were at 1-2 in the league and then to go on this 4-game winning streak and the last 2 without Colin Sexton on the floor, I think they have to feel really good about sort of the bounce back that we've seen since the debacle at Georgia a couple of Saturdays ago.
Wanted to ask you about Colin Sexton, but before we get to that, Saturday night, I thought the first half, obviously Alabama played really well, got the big lead, but I liked the way that other guys were able to get into the game, and it was almost like they weren't just relying on Colin Sexton to hit, 25, 30 points. They kind of, the point distribution, I thought, was a nice change of pace, a breath of fresh air.
Well, they had ball movement. The ball didn't stop. The ball didn't stick to one person, and you're going to get some of that with Colin Sexton, very similar to what you see with Trey Young of Oklahoma, who will be in here on Saturday afternoon with the Sooners. So when you have sort of that lead guard these days that you see so much, not only in college basketball, but obviously the NBA, that can be a kind of a negative that comes from it. You love that you have guys like Sexton and Trey Young that when the shot clock gets under 10, they can fix a lot of the problems, but you can also lose some of that aspect of what you're talking about, which is largely a product of the ball moving. And they did do that extremely well in the first half of the win against Mississippi State. Second half, we didn't see as much of that, and as a result, we saw some struggles on the offensive end.
What is Colin Sexton's status?
Abdominal strain and questionable at best is my sort of take on it from what we've heard from Avery Johnson here in the last day or so. So my expectation for tonight is more of the same from the last couple of games. I'll be surprised if we see much, if any, of Colin Sexton tonight, and hopefully we all get what we want Saturday again when Trey Young comes in here and we get the matchup of Sexton and Young at Coleman Coliseum.
Yeah, we've been talking that one up as well. Trey Young is the truth. Freshman guard, Oklahoma, leads the nation in scoring and assists. That kid's a special kid. That place ought to be absolutely rocking on Saturday. Will there be a goodly number of high school football players, potential Alabama recruits in attendance? Is this that kind of a weekend for Alabama recruiting, Travis?
I think it is. Barry, I haven't really check at this point. I know they're coming off a huge weekend with the 3 5 stars, uncommitted 5 stars coming in, and Tyson Campbell, Patrick Surtain Jr. So maybe not to the extent of what we saw this past weekend for the national championship parade and celebration and the Mississippi State game on Saturday night, but definitely expected to have some important visitors in town and try to close out this class in a way that Alabama fans have become accustomed to under Nick Saban.
Go ahead, John.
I understand that even though spring practice or their A Day game is set for mid to late April, that the team was back in the weight room on Monday under the leadership of Scott Cochran.
Yeah, it sounds like they're getting back to it. They've had a couple weeks of rest and recovery and repair, I think, in some instances when you talk about injuries. So I'm sure that time seems like 24 hours to the players before they're back into it. So it truly never ends. It doesn't. It's a literally a year-round job for these guys. And as you said, before we know it, we'll be in the spring practice and looking at a highly anticipated A-Day game on April the 21st, when I'm sure ESPN and the rest of us will be far more interested in the third-team left guard than who's the starting quarterback. I'm sure that's where our focus will be.
I was talking with somebody over the week who covers – college football on a national basis and doesn't therefore have any real insight, I wouldn't think, into what goes on behind the scenes in the state of Alabama. And he was telling me that it feels nationally like the hiring of Mike Locksley or the promotion of Mike Locksley to offensive coordinator at Alabama was a fallback move, that they went out and swung for somebody, didn't get him, and so Locksley is the guy. Is there any insight you can provide into the process that led to Locksley being hired as offensive coordinator?
I could see why that would be the perception, because in several instances we've seen Nick Saban go outside the staff. Whether it was Jim McElwain in 2008, whether it was Brian Daboll most recently, this last time around. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I think Locksley's a guy that Saban has coveted for a couple of years now, and I know Mike's had some opportunities, whether it was, West Virginia, I believe a year and a half ago or so, after Mike had come in as an analyst at Alabama, there was an opportunity there for him that he turned down to stay at Alabama in an analyst role, of all things, at the time. And then the University of Florida came calling last offseason, and I think one thing Locks has been pretty adamant about is that he wants to get back to that coordinator level, and he would like to work with to the OC level, and he'd like to work with quarterbacks again. And so I think in both instances it wasn't just a throwing of a title at the guy last offseason when he was given the co-OC. I mean, he went from analyst to co-OC. And handle the wide receivers. That was something, I believe, that needed to happen to keep Locksley here and out of Gainesville. And again, not just, you're not just dealing with a guy that you're trying to keep as an on-the-field assistant. You're trying to keep him as a recruiter, too. So Mike probably has more value within coaching circles than maybe we in the media sometimes give him credit for. So I don't think it was necessarily a fallback hire or just an easy hire for Nick Saban to make. I think it's one that, within coaching circles, again, is probably viewed a little bit differently than maybe the rest of us look at it.
And, Travis, it looks that the other hires that Saban has made, youth and recruiters, getting into this recruiting wars with the Jimbo Fishers and the Dan Mullins and Kirby Smarts and Gus Malzahns and everybody else in this league, things have seemed to have ramped up a little bit. And so not only really good coaches, but guys that can go out and recruit as well.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. The landscape has become littered now with adept recruiters at the head coaching spots in the region, not just in the SEC, but Willie Taggart jumping in there for Jimbo at Florida State. That's a guy mm-hmm. you're going to have to compete against if you're Nick Saban or Kirby Smart or Dan Mullen specifically. Jeremy Pruitt going up to Tennessee, I think, changes the dynamic. I know a lot of it is being viewed right now as sort of Nick against all these other guys, but some of the battles within those are going to be fun to watch. Jeremy against Kirby, because I can promise you, Jeremy's going to go for a lot of those same kids in the state of Georgia and those surrounding states that Kirby and Nick are going after. And then Will Muschamp, who is probably as undervalued as not only a really good recruiter, but maybe the best evaluator of all these guys. So Dabo at Clemson, you know, absolutely crowded when you talk about the recruiting landscape right now. And I don't think there's any doubt Nick knew, regardless of, you know, coordinator level or position jobs, that he had to come with some guys that he felt like on the recruiting front could get the job done.
Man, great stuff, as always, from Travis Ryer from BamaOnline.com. Big basketball game tonight. Talked about the one on Saturday afternoon, the Oklahoma Sooners coming in to Tuscaloosa to take on Avery Johnson's squad. And for all the updated info, whether it's recruiting, football, basketball, all the other information coming out of Tuscaloosa, Bama Online is the only place to go. Travis, how do our listeners become more involved with what you guys do there at BamaOnline.com?
Just go to BamaOnline.com or Alabama.247sports.com. Either way will get you to us.
Not one mention of the Jags today. Just wanted that to be noted.
Yeah.
Too soon. Sorry.
If
Jim Chaney took over the offensive coordinator role there in the second half,
yeah,
and you just waited on Tom Brady to beat you. That's what happened on Sunday.
I just assume they win by 35 as do that, because you knew that it was coming.
I know you guys feel. I still hadn't gotten over the last play from the Saints-Vikings game two weeks ago.
That's the worst way to go out.
Oh, yeah. Now I know how Georgia fans feel. Oh, wow. Yeah. Mm. All right, Travis, we'll talk next week, my friend.
Thanks, guys.
All right, buddy, good stuff on our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline. Ain't nothing like them nowhere. Dreamland, downtown, adjacent to Riverwalk Stadium.